orders tonight, so we'll go right to three per.
We don't have anybody signed up.
Okay, and no one in the audience wishes to be under persons to be heard. All right. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendment to offer up?
Okay.
Conflict of interest, item five. Any conflict on any item? All right, moving right along. Consent agenda. I need a motion. Need a motion, move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted. Second.
Okay, motion by DeBoard, second by Odison. Any discussion? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yeah.
Odison?
Yeah.
Dalrymple?
Yeah.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item seven, borough manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So we have a rather short meeting for you tonight, but still consequential. We got some big items on the agenda, but I'll kind of breeze through a few things and note that there's also a library report on there. First thing I'd like to start off with is thanking everybody for attending the town hall. We had over 105 folks in person at the town hall this last Thursday. I think we had over 17 or 18 remote attendees as well on top of that, and a lot of people that reviewed the presentation after the fact. But probably the most historic town hall that we've had here in Wrangell, flying in 9 different industry leaders to take part in a panel, everywhere from Alaska Marine Lines to JAG Marine Group to Cruise Line Agencies to GreenSpark to the Trust Land Office. And I know that Jesdy's on the line for tonight regarding one of her items, so we'll have her talk during one of my administrative reports on that item. But again, I just really want to thank the panelists for flying in. I can't remember a time in Wrangell where we've had this much opportunity in front of us. It's a very optimistic time. You've seen the tune of the town really just change overnight as a result of that discussion. So thank you to all those. I'd like to also thank my team. Kate and Amber, namely, have been putting on a ton of work on this EDA grant. If you look through the door over there, Kate's still working. You know, it's been like that for a lot of us for quite some time. So I appreciate all the effort into this EDA grant application, and which this town hall was a part of. I'd also like to thank Tom, David, and Steve, our asset managers, who have been involved in forming up the projects. David's here in the audience with us, and Jeannie for hosting, and the police department was there just to keep things in order, but it was not needed that night. So I appreciate all that. I'd also like to thank Chris and Melani, who've been involved with the borough for over 2 decades and presenting economic data. And also coming up with different concepts, whether that be our waterfront master plan, iterations of that. It was a really star-studded cast at the town hall, and we got a lot of great data. Most of the issues that we pulled people on after that were 90-10, 80-20, you know, in support all the way across the board. So exactly what we like to see. So very grateful for all those. And regarding EDA grant development, so again, this is our industry transformation path through the EDA. It's a $50 million grant opportunity. I got a fairly good authority that we might be the only community in Alaska that actually plans on submitting this application under the existing pathway, which makes our competition pool even more limited. And being the only Alaskan community would be a really big standout. So I think, you know, knock on wood, that looks pretty darn good if we get everything submitted on time and in accordance with the NOFO. So that's a good little update. As we close out this week, our team's focused on getting the investment commitment letters. Those are what people... businesses rather plan on investing in the community if the EDA grant award does come through. So that's a lot of it. Kate's working on the grant narrative as we speak, and we will have a couple of days for review. But again, kind of a slam dunk effort by all the team, and we're excited to get that thing issued on March 3rd. So that's been a big task for us all. I'd like to talk a little bit about JAG Marine. We'll talk a little bit more about them tonight. So you guys can recall in January, we signed an MOU with JAG Marine. We signed an NDA shortly after. We commissioned design that was jointly funded by JAG and ourselves for a joint venture, $750,000 for this new state-of-the-art shipyard here at the former Six Mile Mill site. Again, we just commissioned design. We expect to have the results of that effort to be back by June 30th at the end of this fiscal period. And in the meantime, you'll note that we'll do a lot of lobbying. So there may be some DC trips in there. There may be a Mar-a-Lago trip in there. There may be some, you know, visiting some sites where the sinker lifts are already in place. So I'll ask for the assembly's blessing on some of those travel engagements, but I think great opportunity. You'll notice that Senator Sullivan's mentioned Wrangell several times in the last month. You know, for one, he mentioned us in the Coast Guard subcommittee hearing about 4 weeks ago as a candidate for the big shipyard in Alaska. Mentioned again to the legislature in Juneau during a state of the state kind of speech that he does each year. And then he mentioned it again in the Southeast Conference. We've been in recent contact with his office and continue to be, and I know that JAG's lockstep with us. Additionally, with these efforts, we've been working on developing a white paper, which we just issued yesterday to JAG to advocate on our behalf. That white paper is directed at the Coast Guard for home porting, Arctic Security Cutter, Polar Security Cutter, National Security Cutter. We want some of these home ports and some of these Coast Guard assets that are being built. The last appropriation cycle, over $24 billion have been appropriated from the Coast Guard for a variety of projects, but many of those were inclusive of a lot of builds of new icebreakers. And I know that Senator Sullivan is dedicated to trying to get some of those home ported here in Alaska. So, you know, 150 jobs from a JAG shipyard and then another 400 come with a polar security cutter. So it could be a huge shift for Wrangell and one that I think we've all been after for some time. So I'll continue to keep you guys abreast in those efforts. But that's kind of where we're at. Again, MOU, NDA, Design Commission, and tonight we have a lease agreement in front of us. So pretty blistering pace for municipal standards. Tonight we'll also talk about land exchange. I know that Jesse Warner, Executive Director of the Trust Land Office, is on tonight. So we'll give her a little bit of time to talk if she'd like. But again, the Board of Trustees met on February 18th and 19th to approve the disposals that are commented on in this exchange. That was a successful unanimous vote in our favor. So tonight we actually have a land exchange agreement, and then I'll talk a little bit more at the item of what's to come. But I'd really like to recognize Jesse and Jeff Green, who've been phenomenal to work with. We signed an MOU with them about a little over a year ago. I think it was January this time, or January last year. And we have a lot of different opportunities to partner, whether that be joint timber harvest and subdivision development and other economic development activities. So I appreciate their consistency in getting this consequential land exchange done. I think that, you know, the 27 acres that they'll be developing out there is something that we got a little bit out of reach for us financially, but also they got the expertise to do it. So and some of their holdings, I think, will be present good opportunities as we extend future partnerships and other economic development in front of us. Last Marine Lines, we had a good series of meetings with Dan Kelly, who was up here for the panel discussion this last Thursday. They are pursuing design with P&D of a new 120-foot ramp and accompanying infrastructure at the 6 Mile Mill site for a new cargo transfer facility. So they have began that design effort. We should have some more answers in 30 days on underlying data, how much a ramp like that will cost, how we might package something together. We'll be able to share more information with the community. So I know that there's been several people have approached us about what's the cost associated with this, what could be the perceived impact to the consumers. So we'll make sure we begin to analyze that once that data comes in. But I can tell you that it's looking like we're going to get it done, and we're excited to both jointly pursue that project. One little hiccup in the equation might be the sunken tug out in front of the mill property. I think we've all known about for some time. That was one of the old Silver Bay logging tugs out there, the OB1, I think it was. And so it's sunk kind of right off the western face of the property. There's actually several sunken vessels out around the perimeter of the mill property. I met with Nelson Diving, Jim Nelson, today, looking at some of his recognizance efforts to look at what it looks like down there. It basically sunk just as it was floating. So it sat right down on the seafloor like that. So the concern for Alaska Marine Lines is their surge gear will certainly drag down below, and they don't want to get hooked up on anything. So there may be some expense realized off of cutting off, you know, portion of the tug house off of it, cutting down the antennas, or we might try to find some other alternative that would best suit the needs of it. But nothing that's like a deal breaker. It's just something we're going to have to address. So I want to make you guys aware of that. Now, we also, in terms of status on our waterfront fill bond, Assembly authorized $4 million last summer, I believe in July, and we should have pricing of those bonds this next month, and then we should see issuance of those proceeds. We're currently working with American Cruise Lines to understand what their final design looks like, and therefore informing the specifications of the waterfront fill and how far we're going out, what the abutment looks like. So initially we were hoping to get kind of going April, May, but it's probably going to be more of like a June or July show. But again, we're kind of just waiting on them for a final design so we can get wrapped up with our work and what the game plan will be. We had good discussions in a related matter with Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska while they were here regarding their barge at Berth 4 in Ketchikan. So that's one of the that's an asset we'd like to make productive use of. One of the opportunities is actually using that for the modification that City Dock has proposed under the EDA grant waterfront, downtown waterfront component project. And so there's an opportunity to maybe look at that. We also talked about potentially using that as a drive down dock with our existing barge ramp if that's not used in the American Cruise Line design. So we're gonna get to some finality over that. I think this summer we might strike a deal with those guys. All the while they've expressed that, you know, they would like to see that asset mutually benefit both them and the city. So I think the best uses that they've identified is the modification at City Dock. But I think even if we do get that grant award funding, it'll still take a lot of several years for us to get the proceeds and actually develop that project. So a nice happy medium in the interim would be to put it over at the bottom of the barge ramp and let it be used as a drive-down dock. So those are all discussions taking place right now. Again, after this EDA submission, a team will pivot towards, and we're already doing it simultaneously, but we'll, you know, put all our full attention to the public safety building, the school, the waterfront fill, the McKinnon Street replacement, and the shooting range improvements, and the monofill. Those are all projects slated for this summer to get done. We did get some pretty welcome news on regarding the school major maintenance project. 45% design came in, and there's several million dollars under in the cost estimate for compared to the grant proceeds that we actually have. So that's kind of nice. It might be able to get a little bit further than expected, or, you know, we got at least a buffer when we get into a competitive bidding environment. So that's kind of where our attention will be turned to. From an alder top perspective, Kim, I'll let her update you on the specific of the lots, but I know that 17 of those lot of the 20 lots have sold. I know that we got bids on another lot. That's probably two lots that are going for auction currently for the next week or two. And, you know, I think we anticipate selling 19 out of the 20 in this round with the auction that we got going on, which is a really successful sale. A lot of people making plans to develop housing this summer and see some construction activity out there. So very successful sale. I want to thank the staff for making that happen. And we will auction four more lots off in the spring or early summer for that are a portion of phase two, but a result of a modification we made to the scope at the last minute to be able to allow those lots to be sold. We also have waterfront vendor space that we'll be offering this year. So we kind of retrofitted the waterfront this last year to allow for additional space. That there will be a public auction on March 6th at 2 p.m. in this assembly chambers. And you have to be present to actually bid on a permit for that area. It'll be a 6-month permit, essentially just going through the summer months, the cruise targeting the cruise season. And there's 7 lots in total. And we will publish a nice visual so everybody can get a feel of what those 7 lots look like. But again, a great space for food truck and vendors and people that are selling a variety of products out there to the visiting industry. So excited to offer that this year. And then again, I'd like to thank, we just had a productive work session with SEPA CEO Robert Seidman and some of his staff. McMillan is in town, who is the design firm tasked with looking at the Wrangell substation and the SEPA switchyard here. We are going to get expanded capacity out of those two projects in the coming couple years. McMillan is also the design firm that is working on the third turbine project. So it's been great to meet with all those guys today to talk about load growth potential as we look at a lot of these economic development opportunities coming down the line. So for the most part, that's it. I got one thing under assembly business, and thank the assembly for all the support as we get a lot of big things done.
Any questions? I had a question from community members on the waterfront design that was submitted at the town hall. That's not a permanent design. It's subject to change, correct?
Yeah, correct. So subject to change.
Conceptual design by Chris Myrtle.
Correct. Yeah. I think it expresses the intent of what we want to accomplish. If you look at the 2015 master plan, it was primarily a park, and a park doesn't pay the bills is kind of my line I've been saying. Although we want good parks in our communities, but we do need to have some underlying commercial development and expansion of the Marine Service Center. So we're calling it a good balanced waterfront, switching from expanded industrial use to more community-centric park and, you know, place for Melpra music to set up in the summertime and bleeding back over into some retail and commercial district to target the visitor industry, maybe additional accommodations, residential for retail, those types of concepts. But you know, I think that moral of the story is we are expanding and we are working actively towards execution of that plan. You know, the biggest step of all being actually filling up the footprint that we're working with this summer. And then, you know, the American Cruise Line deal has been inked up. So we are, you know, checking things off the box on that plan. So not going to let it sit on the shelf and get dusty.
Right. Take us several years, but it'll get done. Any comments or questions, Assembly? But we've got a good library report also embedded in the agenda. All right, Borough Clerk's report, please.
Not a whole lot. As Manager Villarma said, we do have three lots that will be closing separate days. We have one of them closing on March 1st. That's lot 22. Currently, no bids on that one. Lot 8, I believe it is, closes on the 4th. And that one has several bids. And then lot 6 closes on the 6th. Lot 9 closes on the 6th. And that one has at least one bid. And so, I'm really excited to see those all happen. And at the next assembly meeting, we'll be accepting revenue. If these people pay in full, that'd be great. That you'll be accepting their revenue, plus 4 more lots that are due by the end of the week. So, yeah. And then I
take revenue tonight.
Yep, you're accepting revenue tonight. And then also to remind the assembly that the school board joint work session will be here in the Borough Assembly Chambers, scheduled for March the 5th at 6:00. That's it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. All right, next up, Mayor and Assembly business. Assembly, remember our goals, develop rehab our infrastructure, diversify our economy, support our schools, preserve our quality of life, and communicate, improve communication with the public. Please register for NICSL. It's our early warning and emergency system. Shop local for goods and services, and we have land for sale. So perhaps even more land for sale after tonight. So good things. Any comments, Assembly Member Delbert?
Update on the forest plan. They just 2 weeks ago now, but finally got the notice of intent out and published, and it's open for basically 30 days. But the comment period closed the 20th of March. And I'll be working and reviewing that and working with Mason. I think it's got some work, but it's much improved from last year's. It's way more focused, I think, on things that the community is interested in.
Good.
And they will be tentatively having a meeting, a public meeting on it in April here in town.
Oh, good.
It's reset, yeah.
All right.
They got a nice
one. Good. Any other comments? Borough Manager Palarma?
Madam Mayor, Superintendent McCullough and I need a little bit of direction regarding the generators, the backup generators that we're looking at acquiring from the Tons Guards at the mill property. Those were the generators that were stripped off the American Empress, that ACL vessel that's getting retrofitted for the docking facilities here downtown. They want $250,000 per unit. So that would be, for our purposes, we would need 3 to be able to pull off what we want to. So that's $750,000, $750. We also do have 2 EMDs provided for in this EDA disaster supplemental grant. So that would, you know, basically exhaust the need for those generators. But it's one of those things where if we don't get the grant, then we're going to have to figure out a further backup generation. So, you know, we try to talk them down a little bit on price and try to get down to the $150,000 range, but that doesn't appear to be an option. You know, at this point, kind of seeking advice from you guys, I think that my initial thoughts and kind of my recommendation, I guess, is, you know, the data center thing is something that we need to look into a little bit more with the community of Petersburg and understand the impacts to the north end. Is something that's certainly an opportunity, but it's not JAG, it's not AML. Those things are, we're moving on. You know, and I don't think that we have the current need for the backup generation now. And I don't think that the critical path really changes versus acquiring these generators and installing them as opposed to getting the EDA funded EMDs in the grant application. I don't think that we have that need for backup power at this point, but certainly in a matter of a couple of years when these projects do come to life and these economic development initiatives, we will. So my recommendation is for the price that, you know, I think that we'd pass these up and would work to submit the grant. And it's a little bit of a roll of the dice, but, you know, we didn't have the opportunity to see these things run. And I've seen the mistakes of past administrations by generators and let them sit in some derelict building for, you know, 8-10 years and never use them. So with your guys' blessing, I think that's the path I'd like to head.
And EMDs, correct me if I'm wrong, are the current brand we have now, correct?
They are the same brand, but they're newer. They're a higher tier rating, so, and they're larger engines. So they're same brand, same, you know, people will get same manufacturers, if parts or everything like that. So it'll be nice as far as that goes to have retailers in mind for any repairs that need done. And contact with them. They'll be the same guys working on them. The same guys that are coming next week to do the rebuild on 3 will be the same guys doing the work for them in the future if they need.
Right.
So, right.
Assembly member Delbrin from the
Panhandle Administrator. When we first talked about it, was like, let's see what these are because it's a lot of concern. I don't know. Reading a little bit about that boat, it seemed like it hasn't been run forever. I don't know if it was towed up here or what, but. Has there been any evaluation on the shape of those things?
Yeah, Superintendent McCollin's been able to, you know, visibly inspect things, and he's been able to, you know, go through the maintenance logs, and they have been recently overhauled and have low hours on them. But again, we haven't seen them run. You know, one of the four had not been rebuilt back in 2021 when they were rebuilt.
I want to say it was like 2018, so. Few years before, it wasn't that long ago. They got about 5,000 hours on them since they've been rebuilt. The only real advantage to getting them is they are cheaper to maintain. They're here now. That's really the only advantage.
Right.
But I mean, it's overall, if we do get the grant, it's going to be about the same amount of money to put new engines in versus buying these old engines. You have a better load balance with smaller engines, having more of them. So there is that advantage. Whereas, like, if we have two EMDs, you're going to have one to be either overloaded or 50% load when you run two. So there's that. We do have the option to also take 12-cylinder out of the power plant now. It's not being used to put it in there to help balance the load when it's at a point where it needs, where one agent can't handle it, another one's underloaded, you know, so underloaded too. So.
Assembly, do you agree we'll pass this option up for now? I think you've got consensus here.
Okay. Thank you, Assembly.
Thanks for looking into it. Anything else under Assembly business? If not, Mayor and Assembly appointments, all of our boards and commissions are full, so we don't have that. And we have two items under public hearing. So, item 11A, resolution number 02-26-2023 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the Tidelands lease to JAG Marine Group. I'll open the public hearing and ask for an administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this has been long anticipated. So the boards and commissions have reviewed this lease agreement. The Port Commission reviewed on December 19th. Economic Development Board on January 5th, and the Planning and Zoning Commission on January 22nd, all unanimously approving to move forward with the lease agreement with JAG Marine Group. The intent of this lease is a little bit twofold. So first of all, we want to be able to secure the site for JAG to feel good about the investments and the promotion there and the lobbying that they're working on to attract this investment. I mean, this is likely a $250 million shipyard or more. So it's going to take a lot of different funding avenues to get this. It could be a joint equity relationship with ADA or low interest loans. It could be federal Coast Guard and NOAA investments. It could take a lot of different forms, but we want to be prepared to have the site secure. And that gives them the assurance too that this design we're working mutually on isn't going to be a waste, or we're going to partner with somebody else once we get the design, right? So there's a matter of exclusivity to this. There may be a little bit of non-material changes to this after it's approved, if the assembly's okay with that. If it does get to be material changes, I'll come back and approach the assembly again and get it reapproved. That said, this is a shorter term lease agreement. We just want to sync it up with a period for which we think that we'll get the construction funds allocated and on its way and starting the project. So it's a 3-year term altogether. And it really has all the same terms as our code really permits. The base rent is 10% of the appraised value. We would do that basically on the vacant land because nothing would be developed, or we wouldn't charge the appraised value for the construction, because likely that could be an investment that we're making on behalf of JAG, or it could be a federal investment on behalf of JAG and vice versa. So the base rent's devised off of that. Obviously sales taxes, possessory interest, all those things would apply. And then the most important provision in this whole thing is just right before the general provision section. It talks about triggering a longer term engagement with JAG for a 40-year lease. So as soon as this facility became revenue generating, meaning they earned our first dollar on professional services rendered or fabrication, maintenance, repair activities, that is when we would renegotiate a new lease for a longer period of time, likely consistent with what you see down in Ketchikan, a more revenue share dividend based relationship. So that's what this really sets up. It's not a, not a long term, but we're kind of approaching this from a two-step lease point of view. We're going to do a shorter term lease, and then we'll get into a long-term engagement once we have assurance the investment will be made.
All right, I'll open up for public testimony. Is there anyone who would like to testify on this matter? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 02-26-2023.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Mock. Discussion. Assembly member DeBoer.
I would just like to really point out 26E and kind of just piggybacking off what Mason said, that structured on a revenue sharing or dividend based model. So the more successful they are, the more successful we are. I really like.
Beth. Right. And to begin with a 3-year lease, actually normal terms.
Normal terms.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
There may be a confidentiality clause associated with this consistent with the NDA language. There may be some like tweaks here and there, but nothing materially will change about this before we sign.
Okay. No comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Good deal. All right. Item B, page 47, Assembly. Resolution number 02-26-2024 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the land exchange between the State of Alaska Trust Land Office and the City and Borough of Wrangell. I'll open up the public hearing on this and ask for an administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the Assembly should be pretty well briefed on this land exchange, but I'll go through it just real quickly. Back in January, again, we signed an MOU with the Trust Land Office to partner on a variety of different economic development opportunities, whether that be joint timber harvest or subdivision development opportunities in tourism. There's a lot of different things we're interested in partnering on. First, we wanted to be able to allow them to continue to develop their subdivision or continue their subdivision development work. They're already currently working on a subdivision right now in this general vicinity that this land exchange is targeting, which is a 17-acre parcel off of Ishiyama Drive, almost adjacent to the shooting range there. But the target for them under this land exchange is a 27-acre parcel off of Ishiyama, just past hole 2 of the golf course, something that we don't feel well versed to develop. They got the expertise. There's some timber on them for them to harvest. And then in that appraised for $1.65 million return of the 27 acres, we're looking at approximately 266 acres, of which those land areas are identified in the packet. But I will sum them up with nicknames. It's Sawdust Hill right across from the golf course. We got Pat's Landing, the island out in front of Pat's, the 73-acre parcel adjacent to the Aldertop subdivision, and the small triangle adjacent to the Nature Trail or Volunteer Park. So those are the land areas that we're seeking out of this exchange. Again, we think it's a really mutually beneficial opportunity and a demonstration of our partnership. And I know that Jusdy's on the line. So Jusdy, did you want to say anything further to that, or appreciate you being on this late?
Thanks, Mason. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
I can hear you great.
Great. I know it, I'll just take a few minutes, and if that's okay. I just wanted to say that the Trust is really excited to be working with Wrangell. It's been a great partnership. I'd like to compliment Mason. He's very driven, which has made this land exchange really possible. It's great to work with someone who is always thinking of creative solutions. And, you know, in the development and natural resource world, that is so key and critical. So we're grateful for that. The land that we'll be receiving in the land exchange, we hope to subdivide. And just as a reminder for the Trust, the revenues that my office generates, those go to serve Alaskans, some of the most vulnerable Alaskans, really, that are in need of mental health services. So this exchange will go beyond, and we'll have a legacy for many Alaskans to come, for current beneficiaries and future generations, for beneficiaries of the Trust. And then also, we're looking forward to future partnerships. We still have land in Wrangell, and we still are looking for opportunities to partner and get things done. So thank you. And if there's any questions beyond this, I'd be happy to answer.
Thanks, Jusdy.
Thank you.
And just maybe a little bit of specifics on the exchange. So again, our property appraised for 1.65, the conglomeration or the consolidation of their properties, the five different parcels was appraised for 1.621. So there's a $29,000 disparity in between those. There's a cash contribution in here to act as a cash equalization or value equalization. Generally, everything else is according to land exchange agreements of our past. There is a notice period, so they have to do a best interest finding. And so that will take 30 days. My understanding is that's in the paper this Wednesday, so tomorrow. And then we'll wait 30 days. They'll draft their best interest finding out of that. There is potential, if there's comments received, that there's an additional 25 days to respond to those. But we should, you know, closing where quit claim deeds are exchanged should happen on or before April 30th. And again, I'd point out that, you know, we've met with Trust Land's office consultant on tourism and looking at different opportunities there to partner, as we are adjacent landholders. And we have highly coveted land that we want to maximize the use of. So again, all credit to Jesse and partner Jeff Green. They've been exceptional, and I'm excited about future opportunities with them.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to open it up to public testimony. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify on this item? Okay, seeing none, I need a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 02-36-2024.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Powers. Discussion, assembly. This is a good partnership, and I do look forward to other exchanges with the Trust Land Office. We're getting pretty good at selling land and developing subdivisions, so we're sort of on a roll here. No questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesdy. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thank you.
Item 13A under new business, page 70, assembly. Ordinance number 1098 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding section 5.04.065, titled Permanent Vehicle Registration in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1098 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 10th, 2026.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Powers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to let the chief take the stand. He already has. And let him talk a little bit about permanent tabs here in Wrangell.
This is nothing new to the state of Alaska. There's at least 12 other boroughs in the unincorporated areas that have permanent tag registrations. We're a little slow getting into the game of it. The benefits is you have that vehicle that's 8 years or older, you can register it. It's there. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Don't have to worry about every year, 2 years coming back in on your birthday. Couple things that were of concern about it is one of the things that was brought up to me was, okay, well, on the front end, we'll have a lot of revenue, but on the back end, revenue will go down. Miss Jamie brought in $70,000 in through the DMV office last year, and that's in the first 2 months of her being strictly in training. I don't see DMV being a heavy revenue generation for this borough. I think it's more of a service, and most of that goes to the state. So as far as losing a little bit of revenue, I think that's something that we should concern ourselves with as far as the overall benefit of this. The second one would be, okay, well, when you start talking about the transfers of vehicles after they've gotten this permanent registration, we're already encountering some of that with the vehicles being towed right now. Vehicles get sold and you fill out your little bottom form and you turn it in. Person who buys it may not register it, and then they sell it again and it gets sold again. Part of that is just holding people accountable for when they buy the vehicle, getting it registered properly. And if they don't, we end up finding it junked alongside the road. The last person it's registered to is going to be ultimately accountable for it. So we're also going to be paying a lot more attention to vehicles. They're not going to sit here for 4, 5, 6 years and fade in with trees growing out of them. We're going to start moving those along faster. The officers are already looking for them. So that's something that the PD can address as far as the registrations remaining current when those vehicles are sold. That being said, are there any questions about this?
Assembly Member Galbraith.
Chief, this is a curiosity. I like this proposal very much, but where did the 8 years come from?
That's straight out of the state. The state is limited at length of time.
And I read the statute. It doesn't apply to EVs or hybrids or
no.
Is that correct?
Okay. I believe I'd have to refer to it again, but
yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm a little foggy. It's been a long day. But as far as I know, it doesn't apply to those vehicles.
But trailers, which would be good for the park community. Yeah. Any comments, questions? All right. Thank you.
Pretty soon. Pretty
soon. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you the difference between the P tag and this will be a Z tag.
Yes, this is Z. This is related to the age of the vehicle. These are more related to the age of the person.
Of the owner. Okay.
Help it out.
Thank you. We'll say no more. All right. Full vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, page 74, resolution number 02-26-2025 of the Assembly of the City and Borough Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2026 budget in the Residential Construction Fund by accepting the revenue from the sale of the Aldertop Subdivision lots 11 and 19, block 1 of Aldertop Subdivision, in the amount of $114,300.
Move to approve resolution number 02-26-2025.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by DeBoard.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A bit of a housekeeping item. So this recognition of the revenue gained from lots 11 and 19, which are William and Amy Tonsgaard and Pamela and Lester Stanley for $55,100 and $59,200, respectively, for lots 11 and lot 19. So that's just recognition of the revenue that all proceeds will go to the residential construction fund.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, page 77, resolution number 02-26-2026 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving EDA disaster supplemental grant application.
Move to approve resolution number 02-26-2026.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Mock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So again, a bit of a housekeeping item. This is approving our, having you guys authorize our issuance of the application for the EDA disaster supplemental grant. And I won't say any more on that.
Right. So. And we'll have it finished by March 2.
March 2nd, with a day in between just in case.
Just in case, and get it off the rock on March 3rd.
I think it feels like finals week for a lot of us.
Right. Crammed to the last minute. All right. It's been a long time coming. Any comments, questions, Assembly? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, page 81, resolution number 02-26-2027 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving a budget amendment for the EDA disaster supplemental grant.
Move to approve resolution number 02-26-2027.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Powers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a little bit preemptive because we haven't obviously received the grant award yet, but they do require a commitment from the legal body of the city to be able to commit to the matching funds. And so for us, it's a little over $11 million. I rounded up to 12. We will, through various different instruments, a couple revenue bonds and our reserves, meet those obligations. So if we kind of recall, we got $4 million going into our waterfront. We authorized five for pursuing a cargo freight transfer facility. So we're going to try to use those strategically to use those as match proceeds, but there's also any kind of match from ourselves and some of the beneficiaries. So I don't have a perfect plan for you guys, but when we do, we'll be able to get there. At this point, it's just important that we commit to the match that's associated with this grant. And I know that we can get there with a combination of revenue bonds that we have existing, maybe another one if we need it, but I don't believe we will. And we'll provide a financial plan once we find out about the award status.
Okay, and we do have financial plans to repay those revenue bonds.
That's correct.
Already established.
Similar to the water treatment plant, you know, we had to commit to those matches prior to actually receiving the money, and this is something that we've grown accustomed to, but we'll generate a financial plan that's within our bandwidth to be able to do that.
Any comments or questions, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 85, resolution number 02-26-2028 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, supporting Senator Dan Sullivan's efforts to expand Alaska ship building and marine industrial capability and expressing strong support for a large vessel shipyard and United States Coast Guard home porting in Wrangell, Alaska.
Move to approve resolution number 02-26-2028.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Mock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So it might seem like a bit of a housekeeping item, but it's kind of important to me, especially with all the momentum we have by public-private partnership with JAG Marine Group. Senator Sullivan's been going to war to get a lot of these home ports for Coast Guard assets in Alaska, as well as funding investing in ship building here in Alaska. So obviously, we're working with JAG to accomplish that out at the Marine at the Six Mile Mill site. So, we want to be able to package up tomorrow. I'll work to package up our design proposal along with our lease agreement and our MOU. All these different underlying documents,
white paper
with the Coast Guard, and this resolution, Coast Guard City resolution, and say,
yeah,
you know, we're all in as a community, and I think we're playing our cards as good as we can. Obviously, there's the home porting will be more competitive. I think there'll be a lot more communities in that mix, no doubt. But we want to express that we're an interested candidate and we're ready to go to work when called upon. So, and I think from a shipyard perspective, I think we are the candidate. And Ketchikan's project's a lot different than ours. They are upgrading an existing facility. This would be a state-of-the-art yard for the state of Alaska.
That could actually be designed in conjunction with the federal government's requirements.
You bet.
You know. And a couple of meetings ago, remember, we declared ourselves a Coast Guard community.
Yep.
So I didn't know we could do that. But our borough manager, we were talking one day, and I said, I wish that Coast Guard could adopt us. And he said, well, let me look into it. So we reversed the trend and declared ourselves a Coast Guard community.
Yeah, and they should respond and actually give us that designation. So
right,
we'll be prepared when... Well, we do have a home port one day.
Yes. All right. We're meeting with the Coast Guard next month, too.
Right.
Okay. Any comments, questions? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Last item, page 90, approval to reschedule the Board of Equalization hearing from May 11th. 2026 to May 18, 2026.
Move to approve the scheduling of Board of Equalization hearing from May 11, 2026 to May 18, 2026.
You're really thrilled about Board of Equalization, aren't you? So, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm going to give let the clerk jump in for some action, because I actually don't even know why we're changing it.
Because our assessor has a conflict with us and Haynes. It just so happened that they fell on the same day that we do. So they asked if we could just change ours to take place the week after.
Thank you. And thanking our borough clerk, because she has all the procedures outlined for us. So we'll do the same procedure we did last year.
Yep.
Went very well. Assembly member DeBoard?
In Seattle Children's, aren't they?
Okay.
I also have a school board meeting scheduled that same day.
Okay. As long as...
It is an hour later. I don't know how this...
The drop of like flies.
Yeah.
As long as we have a quorum, as long as we have four, we're okay.
Yeah. We've never done it remote, but we may be forced to if we have any more people. All right, we'll figure it out closer we get to it.
Yeah, because if you're remote and then we have at least four, you won't be here. Okay.
Well, we'll figure it out.
If I publish it that it's remote, then it's okay.
Okay.
But if we can't just do it. So.
All right. Poll vote, please.
Okay. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yeah.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yep.
Mock?
Yeah.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough Attorney file and there's a clerk's office, and we will adjourn at 7:47 p.m. Thank you, Assembly.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line. Good night.
Thanks, guys.